Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Sports Waypoints, sports and sports adjacent podcast that sets out to disprove the notion that people with lives dedicated to pixels jumping across the screen can't also be unhealthily interested in what nerds condescendingly call sports ball every Super Bowl. Rob, I start off every episode with the same question. Buddy, are the Bears back?
I think the future is so bright right now. Like, everyone is enjoying, like, I think I'm so happy for like Eagles fans right now. It's so cool to like be enjoying the last Super Bowl before the Bears dynasty takes over the league.
And also, Rob, if you think about it this way, there are two connections to the Super Bowl and the Super Bears. One, Robert Quinn, clearly going to be the difference maker in these Philadelphia Eagles, traded midseason from the Chicago Bears. Two, if we find out that Jalen Hurts going against a historic run of bad quarterbacks during the last 10 weeks of the NFL season and then suffering a shoulder injury against the Chicago Bears that has been lingering ever since, that has not really been tested against any real playoff opponent, might suddenly become a factor in the Super Bowl, suggests to me the Bears might still have a role to play in this Super Bowl yet. Austin Walker, what say you?
If we lose because y'all hurt my boy's shoulder, I'll be so mad. I think his shoulder's all right. I think it's, I mean, you know, this, we are seeing two incredible quarterbacks go into a game with some lingering injuries. That is football in the era of one extra game a season. Mm-hmm. That is football in the era of the running quarterback. That is football, period. People get hurt. It turns out all the time, no matter how much protection you give them. Though, as we learned in the last Eagles game, quicker if you cannot protect them at all.
I want to go back in time, mm-hmm. Austin. We had meant to have you on before, but now we're having you on before your Eagles are in the Super Bowl. How did you feel about this team before, like going into the season? The narrative around the team was Jalen Hurts got pretty embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a playoff game last year.
But we shouldn't even made the playoffs last year. You know what I mean? We came off to such a terrible start last year that seeing the team like turn it around put me in the spot that you are in now, which is the future is bright. Like, you know, y'all didn't turn it around this season, but you can see the pieces starting to come together.
We grounded into the ground.
That was a better play. Like, we could have done that. And I think there were some people, Eagles fans last season, being like, what the fuck are they doing? Stop it. Like, take the L and give up. And next season you get a fresh start and get some better picks. But Howie Roseman doesn't care about that. Howie Roseman doesn't matter.
Always
it doesn't
be
matter. Always be winning. Always be winning. There's a confidence game, I think, happening. I think Nick Sirianni needed to prove himself to the city, which was huge. There's a world in which we bottom out last year and then Sirianni's gone. You know what I mean? Like, they gave him 1 year. He had that goofy ass start. He was not going to get a long road. He proved he could make it to the playoffs with a quarterback that could potentially become better. And this season, I think, has proven that was the right thing to do for him. So I came in fairly positive, but not expecting what we saw. I think the last time we saw each other in person, the Eagles were still undefeated, which none of us thought would last, obviously. You know,
did it longer break before he got hurt? Or there was a fluke game, right?
That there was a fluke game that we lost that we should have won. I don't remember who it was, but it was like a total, it was a loss that we deserve to lose. You know what I mean? Like, we're not a perfect team. This is football. Football is sometimes a good team loses a game, right? And the terrifying thing is when you go, wait a second, has it just been us winning against bad teams the whole time? Or alternatively, have we just been getting lucky this whole time? And I think generally speaking, you know, going into the playoffs, going, you know, let's say going into the end of the season before Jalen Hurts hurt his shoulder, I was like, I think we're legit. Eagles good. Eagles legit. Eagles not fraudulent. But also, are we really all the way up there?
Right, because it's like starting in like early October, mm-hmm. win against the Cardinals. That team is picking yes. third. Win against the Cowboys. I mean, it's the Cowboys.
For a moment there, yes. For a moment there, people were saying Cowboys are going to crush the Eagles. Oh my God, Dak is back. Oh my God. You know,
did
the
Dak
Cowboys
play in that
defense
game?
Is that no, not that
okay,
first game.
Well, that's
the Cooper Rush loss.
Yes,
that's the game that we proved Cooper Rush was a fraud. That was Cooper Rush's well, on a
right.
win streak.
You're
and
right.
We
you're
broke
right.
Skip Bayless's heart.
Eagles win against the Steelers. They basically don't have a quarterback.
Come
Eagles
on.
Win
yeah.
against the Texans. They basically don't have a team
they
and are just
team.
Are just interested in firing black coaches. That's primarily what the Texans
that's
are interested
what
in at the
they're
moment.
There for.
And then here it is. The Eagles yeah. lose to the Commanders.
The Commanders
that is
yeah.
the
that was
the
an embarrassing
loss.
Game.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. And then the Eagles win by 1 point against the Colts.
Jeff
More
Saturday's
or less a
Colts.
Loss.
More or
less a loss.
But the Colts, that's the Colts. The Colts got to win. Who did the Colts beat? The Colts beat the Chiefs, didn't they?
They did.
Like, what the fuck, man?
Wait, also, I have a quick question. The Commanders.
You know,
Wentz wasn't quarterbacking.
No, that was Heinie, wasn't it?
Heinicke.
Heinicke, whatever okay. the fuck his name is. As far as I'm concerned, that dude's name is Heinicke.
You know, one thing that, like, kind of the whole genesis of this project for Rob and I was trying to entangle our own personal histories with the Bears, which are like tied up in how we justify, rationalize, enjoy watching the sport
totally.
Despite all the hangups. And I've always gotten the feel, well, I know this, I'm setting this up as a rhetorical question, but that you are in the same boat, that like the
yeah.
Eagles runs deep is a family thing. And can you walk us through, like, when do the Eagles enter your life?
It's not a family thing, actually.
Because your dad's actually a Browns fan.
My dad's a
right?
Browns fan, yeah. which also yeah. isn't a family thing. My dad's story is his family were kind of like Jets, Giants people. He's from North Jersey, which means you're mm-hmm. a Giants fan. He, for whatever reason, was a Jets fan. Saw the
Cubs Sox thing where like
I
you,
think so.
even though you live in quote you know where you would be a Cubs fan, you just choose to be a White Sox
yeah.
fan.
But then he saw a TV broadcast of the Jets play the Browns when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. He loved how the Browns played and was like, "They're my team," which is a great way to do sports. Like
that rules.
That to me, and then like followed them for years. I mean, I was just thinking about this the other day, which is like you have to. I think it says so much about who my father is as a person. That when the Browns left Cleveland, he didn't follow them to Baltimore, where they then immediately would go on to win the Super Bowl. Not immediately, within 3 years.
He just said, "I don't have a football identity anymore."
He's like, "I'm in." Well, okay. So when that shit happened, I don't know how much of that you've read about, but that was a lot about could the owner of the Browns get the city to build him a new stadium?
Yeah, I watched like a 30 for 30 about it years back. Yeah.
So. It's like my dad kind of felt, I guess I don't know this for sure. I don't remember everything about this, but my dad basically felt we're going to get a new team, mm-hmm. right? So the Cleveland as a city has committed to bringing an expansion team or bringing a team to, you know, transferring a team over or something. Well, the Browns will be back, but the players and the coaching staff he'd been rooting for.
The culture it's all gone.
Oh, and they went to Baltimore and then won some Super Bowls. And so it's like he could have had that, and instead what he got was the worst expansion team in NFL history with those Browns, but he stuck with them. That's his fucking team. And it still is, despite it all. And this year is especially bad for that, right?
Wait, how this is a tangent, but this is something we've talked about multiple times is, you know, how Browns fans have dealt with mm-hmm. essentially being given the shittiest hand possible in terms of how do you – it's
checked
like,
out.
It's like football already hard – to, yeah. you know, like there's lots of things you're working through. We've talked about mm-hmm. how we work through those in the podcast most recently with the DeMar Hamlin stuff. And
sure.
But like, I don't know, like how does your dad talk about it?
You find his reinvestment into things like fantasy football so he can still follow
okay.
the sport
gotcha.
Without being like Right. You know,
it helps that they kind of sucked this year too.
It helps that they kind of sucked too. Like I was going to say that. I think it lets you not have to go deep into the rationalization minds.
Yeah.
If, you know, if this shit had come out about Jalen Hurts, you know, like not come out. This hasn't happened as far as I know about Jalen Hurts, right? if Jalen Hurts had, you know, was a domestic assaulter, I would have to be like, no, like I have to draw that line there. It fucking sucks, but I'm not going to root for the team that's going to put this guy in a position of leadership or keep him on the team at all, given the situation. Like you have to draw that line. But it's easy when you're like, I can just not pay attention until this motherfucker's gone. You know what I mean? So, which he isn't, right? Like they're going to keep him next season and that will be a whole new season. And who knows, right? Anyway, my point being, my dad wasn't an Eagles fan. And my stepdad is a Vikings fan from Atlantic City. What the fuck is going on? And my mom's a Steelers fan because she's from Northern Pennsylvania, which is actually Eagles country because she's in Northeast Pennsylvania. How did her family end up being Steelers fans? The answer is blue collar city, you know, concrete workers, construction workers, more Pittsburgh energy. Okay. That Philly is a white collar town, but Philly, Pittsburgh, you know.
Yeah.
So none of that was Eagles, but South Jersey is Eagles country. Right. Eagles country is the Philadelphia area down to the Jersey Shore. Right. And that's like you cut the line in terms of Jersey. Giants is upstate and Eagles is southern Jersey. So I grew up around a lot of Eagles stuff. Phillies fans, 76ers, like that's that country. And I grew up, I've written about this before, you know, in the era of Randall Cunningham. Right. So like I grew up with the style of play that I have come to love for decades now. Is in line with what Jalen Hurts is playing. It's in line with what Donovan McNabb played, right? It's in line with what Michael Vick played. Speaking of people who had shit come out and their careers get completely sidetracked. Weird that didn't happen to Ben Roethlisberger.
Some people attempted to do some version of repaying like a debt to society and other people just kept playing football and got to have a retirement tour.
100%. I mean, Vic is doing like broadcast shit now, right? So
it seems like he's gotten on the other side of that.
But you know,
he also he got convicted.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like Ben, the case like kind of like just got dropped, and also his security detail was all off duty cops. So like there was that whole aspect too of we know police departments do not investigate themselves, and the minute you had like. A situation like this where cops were present, like it was going to go one way,
but
and continued to ball.
Right. That's the other thing. This comes back to what we were saying before, right? Is like when you're getting the dubs, a lot of people are going to look the other way. Right. But I will say it's a familial thing in the sense that despite my dad being a Browns fan, we were at the Eagles games. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, my mom was still buying me cool Eagles sweatshirts and sweaters and everyone loved that I was an Eagles. It wasn't like there was no inner house. I mean, those aren't rival teams. It's not like my dad was a Cowboys fan. You know, my uncle was a Cowboys fan and we playfully were rivals.
Okay, I want to talk to you about this real quick. Though.
Yes, we should have this conversation.
Yeah. So one, I don't totally buy your whole act of like when, like, for instance, when the double doink happened.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't fully think you were so sorry. Yeah.
Think about how often I bust people's balls, generally speaking. I'm not that guy.
You also got to remember, he knew I was at the game.
You were there. You were at the game. How could that not break my fucking heart? Of course I'm glad we won, but it breaks my heart. You're my boy. Right. Like, I don't have that style of, like, masculine. Right,
I'll take that then. Like, I'll grant that you were sincere on that stuff.
Yes.
But then I have never, like, Ayo, that does not the extend Cowboys. To the Cowboys.
Ayo, fuck the Cowboys, America's team. Get fucked. Like, so I grew up in the 90s. I, like, clipped all over the place. Sorry, Kano. I broke my mixer on that. The 90s Cowboys dynasty, right, which it was a dynasty, one of, you know, the Patriots are the only other true dynasty, I think, in our lifetimes. Is that fair to say?
And actually, like, the span in of their dynasty almost makes the Cowboys stuff seem quaint because
it does seem quaint. Totally. Yeah. But let me tell you, when you are like what are the years of the Cowboys Super Bowl victories? 93 to 96, something like that. 92 to 96, something like that. I'm checking. It's going to take me 2 seconds. Super Bowl champions.
And also, frankly, you know, things
92,
like
92, 93, 95, right? But they were just in it that whole time. Yes. And when you're 7 to 12 or whatever, that's a lifetime, It feels different, you know? It's not the same as the Patriots had a dynasty when I was an adult. You know what I mean? And that's like, they may as well have won. I hate, you know how we feel about the Patriots and about Brady and Belichick and all that shit. But the Cowboys represented something else. And it's so funny because it's the same shit that the Patriots go on to represent, which is this like very clean cut, very white, very safe American football team. Not that there were not black players.
No days off.
The other half of this, right? Is that like there was a certain model of no fun football versus Randall Cunningham, right? Versus a guy who you love to see play. Troy Aikman versus Randall Cunningham. And like, that's everything about the world. Meanwhile, in basketball, it's the Bulls, and the Bulls are ascendant. America's team in basketball is having fun doing the most ridiculous. Now, they're also, you know, we know about what the 90s Bulls situation is like, but their style of play is enamoring.
Yes.
And that is not the case for the
stuff. They were truly a transcendent team. Like the Patriots were a dynasty, but everyone fucking hated them. The Bulls were a dynasty. And I'm sure, you know, if you were a Detroit Pistons fan,
I wish I'd been a Detroit Pistons fan. Like, this is, I think we've talked about this when we covered Last Dance or talked about Last Dance at some point, that like, damn, I wish I had been aware enough to be a Pistons fan in the Bulls era. I would have suffered. It would have sucked. But I would still have a team. Like, I'd still be a Pistons fan somehow. Yeah. I know it. Because my Eagles love and my Cowboys hate were forged in that moment of fuck Troy Aikman. And, like, I respected Emmitt Smith. Like, there are people on that team who were fantastic players.
I'll say this, though. Emmitt Smith, he was a really good, really efficient running back.
Just ain't no Barry Sanders.
Stir the same things that like Peyton or Sanders.
Yes.
Like it just doesn't. No. Like, I think the one guy who does is Michael Irvin. I think is the one guy who you're like, okay, that guy had flair, but
that guy had flair. Yes.
That's also because he played an incredibly violent position in a violent way.
And like you have Deion Sanders doing incredible shit. And that's the era of Neon Deion. That's the era of primetime. That's a whole other thing, right? So like there was flair to that team, but there was something so, you know, I was not the radicalized Austin Walker you know and love now. But sitting in South Jersey, there was something so like fake about the idea that the Cowboys were America's team. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like, I understand more now about the literal city of Dallas and its centrality to a mm-hmm. huge part of the country, how much moves through the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Like I at the time,
where does
I
was that like, what branding the come from? Do we know what is actually like the origin story of the
America's team? Good question.
You know, is that just like NBC at some point says they're America's team? Because then every
they
year
they did it. The 1978 highlight film, they claimed it.
Just the Cowboys called themselves America's team.
Yeah, Bob Ryan, now VP and editor-in-chief of NFL Films, coined this for the Cowboys while preparing their in-house 78 season highlights film. He's quoted as saying, "I wanted to come up with a different twist on the team highlight film. I noticed then and had noticed earlier that wherever the Cowboys played, you saw people in the stands with Cowboys jerseys and hats and pennants. Plus, they were always the national game on television." So,
well,
they had a big away team following, you know?
Weirdly enough, like it, maybe it's always been true. Like, you know, you hear ESPN to personalities talking about the Cowboys are good business. Like mm-hmm. ratings are up when the Cowboys are up, and when they are not, like it kind of goes away. Also, there's the weird effect of like Cowboys and then the Eagles to an extent, too, scooped up a lot of fans out of the D.C. area.
True.
Because there you have like a really black city, really black community, and then like an openly racist owner. And I'm talking about the old guy.
Yeah.
Like, but so you have a franchise that is kind of a thumb in the eye of, you know, a lot of the community. And so they go to a rival.
Also, Dallas, Texas is football country, right?
Right.
The South is football country. You know, I can't.
There's a reason a show like Friday Night Lights is set there.
100%. Right? 9-year-old Austin did not understand this. What 9-year-old Austin understood as America was honestly cities like Philadelphia and New York. Because I was from South Jersey and those were like the big world to me. And that's obviously revealing a lot of bias, but like it certainly wasn't Texas, right? So I just didn't have any of that shit. And so whenever that was being fed to me, it felt so phony. And also we were the underdogs, right? We never could any, you know, this is y'all and the Packers in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just like I don't care about the season. I care about beating the Cowboys. Like, at the end of the day,
they're my dynasty. They're my dynasty. Like, but Rodgers has got one ring. He's going to go down as, like, having a career that was a, you know, a legendary QB that people are going to have to explain why he was good, because he's not going to have the rings to back it up. But I'll know that I spent 15 years under his fucking thumb, and I can't wait for him to... Did you read about his darkness retreat that he's going on?
No.
He's trying to figure out whether he wants to either retire or keep playing or get traded. And so he's doing this new thing. I think last year it was ayahuasca was the drug. Was. And then that he claimed was, it's not a drug, it's from the earth.
From the earth.
Okay, bro. And this year, to figure out what he's doing this upcoming season, is I think it's 4 days in a small house in complete darkness to try and have a spiritual awakening within himself.
You ever just think this guy's going to die in a sweat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just one year he's like, and this year I'm doing a sweat retreat.
And that's it.
And that's it. Bye.
Bye. Peace. Ascends to become a pure podcast. Just leave him behind
Pat,
an MP3.
Him and Pat McAfee just holding hands. Just Christ. Like Pat McAfee, a guy that is so clearly smarter than the persona. Like, wrestling,
he's playing a character.
Wrestling persona as podcaster, in which, like, you'll watch him when he's on, like, college sports. Occasionally I've caught him on there. It's like, he's still got, like, the everyman, like, kind of doofy vibe. But it's like, dude, you're not stupid. Like, well, and you play stupid for, you know, the audience.
He does the thing Howard Stern's always been really good at, where it's like, hey, we're just having such a good time. Just keep talking. I am so entertained. I'm so engaged by what you're saying. Yep. Just keep going. And you will get people saying a lot of wild shit because they're like, I am so comfortable. I feel like I am in a weird confessional where I can really let my freak. Now, Howard's way of doing it was like, hey, my freak flag is like all the way billowing out. Like, you can see it. So we're all weirdos here.
Yeah.
In what way are you a weirdo?
That's not how McAfee does it. Yeah. McAfee is just a quiet wall that people like Rodgers can bounce their shit off of. And frankly, the fact that he lets him do that is telling about where he is at on that shit. You know what I mean? You know, you don't get to the Aaron Rodgers book recommendation corner unless you're like hyped to have him sound like the high school junior.
Didn't
thinking
he recommend
they're dropping knowledge.
Like it was like 1984? I think he actually like did 1984.
No, this book really opened my. This book really has a lot. Don't shut the fuck up, Cowboys. One more thing. This is the last thing on that.
Please,
you have to understand. Anybody who I knew in my life who was a Cowboys fan is the opposite of my dad or my stepdad. They are bandwagon jumpers because they're also from fucking South Jersey, but they're like, oh shit, the Cowboys are the best team in the NFL. I'm a Cowboys fan. Now, little Austin Chicago Bulls fan did not understand the hypocrisy therein because basketball was different. It had Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? And Troy Aikman and the fucking Cowboys were not Michael Jordan. So I didn't, everybody I knew who was that person about the Cowboys was absolutely like, well, they're the best team. So I'm going to follow them. And so that really got under my skin versus like, you have a team. It's your team.
Did those people stay Cowboys fans?
A lot of them did. A lot of them did, which means they're suffering now, which I am fine with, frankly.
Well, the Cowboys have been very adept at seeming like they are just on that final step. But the great thing, too, is like
there's a podcast out there. There has to be that starts with Are the Cowboys Back?
Buddy, I'm pretty sure every meeting in Jimmy Johnson's executive suite is like it starts a similar way. Not Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones. But
Jimmy Johnson was the Cowboys as well, right?
In the 90s. Yeah. But
he had too much swag.
And
and Jerry had to get rid of him. And the other thing is Jerry resented the hell out of people thinking that the Cowboys were a shared project.
Yeah.
That like Jimmy Johnson came in here and sorted this place out and created the dynasty. So he had to be like, I'm going to get this guy out of here and I'm going to do it on my own. And by on my own, I mean, I'm going to call in Barry Switzer, a highly decorated like college coach with some of the same pedigree as Jimmy. And then I'm going to GM this team. And it's just never going to quite work out for the rest of forever.
Forever, forever, never, ever again. I mean, that's the other thing is the – you hear Jeff Lurie, who, you know, obviously is a super rich dude, who the guy who owns the Eagles, obviously, he is a very powerful dude in the city. He gets what he's wanted in the city in a real way. But he's a little afraid of Philadelphia. And the Eagles are a little, like, it feels to me, you know, I'm not a Dallas person, but it feels to me like Dallas is Cowboys country. But the Eagles have to go play ball in Philadelphia, right? Like, the Eagles and every Philly sports team has to put up with Philadelphia fans. They have to figure out how to manage that.
Oh,
and
shit.
I like that.
They're greasing those goddamn poles again.
They're greasing those goddamn poles again. Win or lose, they're going to go fucking set the town on fire. The same way I want politicians to be afraid of their constituents, I want a sports team to be a little afraid of its fandom. You're fucking ours. We're paying the taxes for your big stupid stadium. You know? Now, could we be like better people? 100%. Eagles fans are really bad.
But look, we live in a society. But this is just what we're left with.
Exactly. I think Eagles fans specifically are really bad at giving coaches time to like develop and figure out their situation. They often want results too quickly.
But I feel like the fact that you have been blessed with this incredible executive that is able to just navigate those scenarios. Like, I don't think Sirianni's a bad coach, but I also think lots of mediocre coaches could do a lot of amazing things with the level of talent that is on both sides of that roster. Like,
so this that was a much more elegant and careful way of saying what Love from the Giants said this past week. Did y'all hear that?
No.
Did Jordan Love, is that his name?
That's the Packers guy, right?
Giants, he said, I'm going to get the exact quote here about Nick Sirianni. He said, here we go. I don't know if I like him. I respect it, I guess. I don't like, someone's like pushing him to be like, hey, what do you think about how he gets fired up and yells at refs and all that? Yeah. He's like, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. He's in for a free ride right now. You guys talking about the other panelists could coach this team. That's how, I mean, come on. They have a talented roster. He's just doing the best he can. I think it's a players league. He's just taking a step back and letting his team play. Which is like, he does have a talented team. Coaches do step in too much sometimes and fuck it up. But could anybody go in and coach the Eagles team with all those egos? You know a bad coach would have fucked up the Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown dynamic. Because he would have been like, well, you're a number one and you can fuck off if you think that you should get more passes. You know, it's hard to manage those egos. But I think he's done a pretty good job of that. And also, we saw how bad he was to begin with. To not give him props for getting better, I think is a mistake. And some of that getting better is delegating. Like, realizing he shouldn't be the play caller anymore.
Well, right, yeah. And that's good. People forget that, I think, that he did that in that first half of that first season. That he realized. Yes. And, like, we actually constantly struggle with this with the Bears when we had Matt Nagy with Ms. Trubisky, where it became actually a mystery box every week of the beat writers asking, who's calling plays this week? Mm-hmm. We're like, we'll figure that part out. And that suggests a coach that does not understand. It is much rarer to have the Kyle Shanahans, the Andy Reids. Like when I've read about coaches who have talked about what they fucked up after their first stint, like there's a long body of evidence that coaches should get at least a second chance because the there's no training to be a head coach. Yeah. And that when you get into it the first time, you're more likely to fail than you are to succeed. And that one of the first things a lot of them say is, yeah, head coach means you should like kind of give up all of the duties and actually run a ship as opposed to having a coordinator job and also managing three phases of a game, which is incredibly difficult to do. So Sirianni, like, look, he doesn't have to be an offensive genius. If he's able to just manage three sets of, like, having a real talented team means you have wildly overpaid egos, like you said, and managing those guys. Yeah, of course, winning makes everything smoother. And like next year, if they win 10 games instead and have a 4-game losing streak, like, we'll see what happens. But fuck it. Like, if you win the Super Bowl, like, that's what you get to look back at and, like, figure it out.
And you know, if we get two chips in 5 years, like, what am I, you know,
that's, I'm good. Yeah, I mean, come on. Jesus Christ.
I already feel well served.
You got draft picks for Carson Wentz.
I know. It's unbelievable.
That's offensive.
We'll,
you should have draft picks taken away for getting draft picks for Carson Wentz. Uh-huh. Like,
Rob, you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say a couple things there. Like, one, I think sometimes you know, if you're bought into the idea of we got to have an offensive genius running this thing, sometimes the ingredients are just simple and you don't need somebody making a whole big deal out of it. Like, Hertz is like, this is a guy who set like strength records in college. Like, the term beast is not like incorrect when applied to this man. And like, you could say,
let him do it.
And that's the thing, right? Like, there are coordinators who would fight that tendency where he's like, eh, I either don't like what I see or I'm just not seeing what I'm supposed to, but I'm just going to run at this guy and like see if he can bring me down. Turns out he can't, at least not within like 7 yards. And I think there's coordinators who would wreck that. I think there's coordinators who'd be like, you got a second guess. I need you to go through your progression before you make a decision to run.
Second time, third time. Well, this is the thing, right? Is I think fundamentally the coaching staff, whoever made this decision, I mean, at the end of the day, Sirianni let this decision get made at the very least, right? He didn't impose his will on this, or it was his will to begin with, which is they built an offense around what they had. They didn't have a system and insist, which I've seen happen, right? You know, there was a period, I want to say it was the Ray Rhodes era of the Eagles where there was like, we're going to run the West Coast offense. We're going to do that. I don't care that that's not what you do. We're going to do that. That's the offense we're running. And that style of coaching wrecks a team, whereas the RPO is like built for what we have. It works. It's flexible. It means that our numbers are really weird because 1 week it pushes Jalen to like be a good passer and he can be that on good weeks. And other weeks he's kind of looks like his numbers are like fine, but not good, you know, but our run game is incredible because
it's misleading because it's the quarterback is picking between and they might pick a bunch of plays that make it seem like they're a crummy quarterback, but actually they're picking the play that just the defense is giving them.
Right, right. It's the classic thing of like stats can't tell the whole story.
Right.
And, you know, neither can a win-loss record really, but we're in the Super Bowl, right? And that that does, well, and if that's what you care about.
The other thing that occurred to me is as you were talking about like getting picks back for Wentz, for instance.
Right.
The thing that feels so, I guess in my darker moments, unfair, but also is kind of more impressive. Like, they didn't really blow up the team and enter, like, a deep, ugly rebuild, which it kind of seemed like they might have to. It became... Like,
Rob, they're going to win the Super Bowl and have the 10th pick in the fucking draft because the goddamn Saints don't know... They want to be the Eagles, which is that we're just winning. We're always just going in and we're winning. You're going to win possibly the Super Bowl and have... A top 10 pick in the draft. That ain't how it works.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
I want to see what's the current total number of picks that we're getting in those first like two rounds. Is it still three? Because at some point it was three picks. Yeah. Okay. So because we kept our own pick. We haven't traded our own picks away. So yeah, we have the number 10 pick from the Saints and we still have our own
31
first
or 32,
second.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Do you think you were saved by the fact that like, so there's always the argument that like Nick Foles entered the zone during that run.
100%.
And if Wentz had been healthy and good to go, it wouldn't have happened. But either way, it also broke any chance of Wentz being the guy in Philly. Like once a quarterback brings a title, he's untouchable. Like it's so like even if everybody knows like this dude got carried,
he signed the contract though, right? He'd already had the extension at that point, didn't he?
Wentz had, yes. You're saying yes. Yeah, but then he got traded away a year later. Where'd he go first? He went to got Foles. Yeah, he went to.
No, he went to the Jaguars and then signed like that 3-year deal. Like he got his paid, right? Like he got a shitload of money. And then the second play of the opening series of the first game, he shattered his collarbone.
Right.
And then he basically got shipped out to the Bears the year after. But yeah. Carson, that was interesting because you're right, Rob, that yes, had he won the Super Bowl and then cratered in the way his career has afterwards, it's probably harder. But what's remarkable about the Eagles is that Foles winning and then him cratering, despite them giving that big extension, much like the Rams trying to get out of the Jared Goff contract, you have teams more willing to eat it. And if the Eagles had spent two more years being like, hey, maybe we can make it work. Like, you're not here. You're two more years behind.
Two more years out. Yeah. And if Jalen doesn't develop, and if Devontae Smith, who obviously a great talent, but ends up doing the thing that most young receivers do, which is struggle when they make the transition into the NFL. You know, like the fact that we actually have a real, you know, two-pronged receiver, like wideout situation means a lot for lifting
AJ
Jaylen.
Brown is so fucking good.
It's unbelievable. Like, I don't understand. I still don't understand that trade. That trade is like shooting yourself in the foot. I never in a million years do I understand what they were thinking.
They tried. Well, they tried to do what Kansas City did with why am I blanking? I'm saying Travis Kelce, but that's their tight end. Tyreek Hill, right? Like, so they trade him. The idea is like, hey, are we gonna pay you $30 million a year? No, we're gonna get the draft picks, get younger, try and find some other players. And you know, Tennessee just didn't have the rest of the team to make that work. I forget who they drafted, but he hasn't really panned out, at least in his first year. But to your point,
but again,
first year wide receivers tend to have particularly good years. But yes, that worked out exceptionally well because you took a seat. I think you paid him $8 million this year. Like, he's going to get paid. Like, your team will have complications. But like, $8 million for A.J. Brown is unbelievable.
Your bigger point about, and I think this is actually the secret sauce for the Eagles this year, is because we didn't have that rebuilding period, we still have the Super Bowl talent. Not all of it, but we still have the vets like our Kelce who've been there before. We have people on the defense who know what that's like. We do not have the jitters in the playoffs the way the sort of like upstart team does, because we have those captains who can keep everything on track and can pass that knowledge on, right? And that's rare.
Don't you have Ndamukong Suh this year as well?
100%.
Who just floats between, like, he signs at the end of a season when a team goes, yeah, we're just going to look past all those highlight reels of him just like stepping on the groins of NFC North players for 6 years when he was on the Lions. Because he's really good, want him to play until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you need it's like the equivalent of he's not in the band, but he's a session musician and he's real good. We're going to get him for the album. He's not going to come on tour, but we're going to get him for the other one.
Purdy's elbow, right? Wrist, right? Like it was Sue.
I think it was Hassan Reddick. I think it was Reddick who got to his wrist. I'm pretty sure other thing. And like the only thing that makes me confident about the Super Bowl, like truly, because I think the Chiefs are just an incredible team and they are a fun team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think our defensive line is just too good.
Especially for, I have not seen Mahomes look healthy since that leg injury cropped up, and he gutted out that game against the Bengals.
Uh-huh.
But you know, he didn't look right. Like he
two
just,
more weeks of healing time and resting and all that, but we'll see. Right.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's not, you know, it's not what I would love. I don't want to beat. There's going to be an asterisk. If he comes out and looks like he's still on his bad foot, everyone is going to say, well, healthy Mahomes would have never. Da 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 da.
Yeah. two years from now.
I guess
you still get to say you won the Super Bowl. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. What do y'all think about this game coming up? I'm very curious because I think, obviously, as an Eagles fan, there are two types of Eagles fans. There are the pole climbers, and there are the people who like are constantly slowly like folding into their chairs, waiting for the groin shot. Right, we're waiting for Lucy to pull the ball away. Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm obviously in the latter camp, which means it's very easy for me to build up the like disaster situation where we get blown out 40-7. You know what I mean? But I'm curious, genuinely, how do you rate these two teams?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think for me, this does come down to the fact that Mahomes can't do what he was doing a month ago.
Right.
And I think in that scenario, it's a really different, because like Mahomes is such a special quarterback. It's gotten so lopsided that to a degree, his invisibility has become his excellence has become kind of invisible because it is taken for granted in a lot of these games that, like, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win that game, and they do. But in part, it's because, like, he is able to make incredible things happen. He's a very difficult quarterback to cover his receivers, and is a very dangerous quarterback to rush. Or he was until his leg got messed up. And so a lot of his tools, I think, are, I don't think he's going to have full access to his tool set. And he's going to be in greater danger playing that way. I think he's been visibly in greater danger, both physically and, like, making mistakes, you know, due to injury. So I think that's a big part of.
Do you not, like, get the Jordan-esque vibe from him, though? See, more than, like,
that's the problem.
You know,
so
what I mean?
This is tragically the last time I can put 50 cents or a dollar on a bunch of meaningless bets that are 24 to 1 odds that can turn a dollar into $42. And so, but the way I always do stuff like this is, like, I try to think of how do I think the game is going to work out, right? And I try to think through, like, both teams, and my heart tells me exactly what you said, Austin, is that the defensive line is going to, even if he is 80%, like, that 20% is going to matter. That 20% missing is going to matter. Travis Kelce is still going to get open a billion times and is going to break your heart a couple of times, because that is just what the second best tight end to ever play the position is going to do. But Mahomes does not have a ton of other skilled players. The one thing that is going for the Chiefs is that he has learned to be patient. Like, part of the reason that he got his ass kicked against the Bengals last year was because they just said, hey, dude, you can't throw deep, throw short. And he just could not accept the fact that he was incapable of throwing deep. And a huge part of his game this year has been accepting to throw short. And that became only magnified in two games where he was not physically 100%. And so that is what my heart tells me the Eagles, and then my gut is like, yeah, he'll just find a way to do it anyway. And so,
which is not how I felt about Brady, by the way. Like, and Brady did find ways, but it was there was always this, like, he's a machine. He's a system.
It's not magical.
It's not
right. Like, when you're watching that final, it's the same way that I've watched Rodgers break my heart a billion times, you know, against the Bears. Like, well, you only gave him 40 seconds. Well, sorry.
That's all I need.
It's enough. And, like, sometimes that level of player finds a way. And, like, even, like, that last, the game with the Chiefs, like, he couldn't run. But, you know, how did he win the game? How did he win the game? He ran.
Oh, yeah, he picked his moment very, very well. Like, when he had to put on the Jets, he did. But I don't know. Like, I think against this defense, that little bit of like lost performance is going to matter. And here's the other thing that I've not been able to shake. Like, there have been times I'm like, the Eagles aren't all that. Like, they're too, they don't show up sometimes. They can have real bad halves. And then I think about that last Cowboys game, where it was like, there's teams that just get beat. And there's a lot of teams that can put a beating on a team, but, like, that was a destruction. Like, that was a, like, you know, every phase of the game, like, no matter what type of play it was, the Eagles were bringing it. And I think that was the other thing, is I had this, like, because the other thing my worry was going to be, the other thing is Hurts going to be as special as he has been? Because he is also clearly not back to 100%, and his game kind of needs him to be near 100%, or so I thought. And that didn't really matter against a really good Cowboys defense. It just didn't matter.
Something about him that I think is deeply underrated, which is, like, the opposite of the super player who plays through it all, is he doesn't get tilted. I've never seen a quarterback throw a pick the way he's thrown a few picks this year. Not a ton, but he's thrown a few. And then come back out the next drive and be like, I'm going to keep throwing the ball. And
he just also shows miss. Like basically no emotion.
No emotion. 100%.
Like that has been such an interesting storyline to follow. Listening to some of the beat reporting is just, there are players who, you know, just are able to just, like, be unfazed by a mistake or a series that goes wrong, a game that goes wrong. You know, like watching, you know, like even Justin Fields, like man, when he has a great game, like you see on his face, like big smile, like he is just have. He's like, oh man, I love football. And then sometimes you watch Jalen Hurts, and it's like, are you having fun out here, or is the you know, it's dude. It's hard to read. Like, not that that is a barometer for like a player's excellence, whether they are enjoying, but he is an interesting personality to try and parse. And so, in some ways, one of the things I'm rooting for. Can I bet on will Jalen Hurts smile when he's getting MVP for winning the Super Bowl? Like, what is his emotional journey?
He plays quarterback like an SEC coach.
Well, like his, you know, his dad was his coach his whole life, right? There is something there is something that so feels like army brat about Jalen Hurts, not in the, and therefore he has a wild streak way. In the yes, sir, right away, sir.
Yeah.
You know, in the, what's the dude's name from, Abbott Elementary, whose father was a military dude. And he's just like super straight, like that style where he feels, you know, you see him give speeches to the people in the back. The people talk about him being a good leader 100%, but he is so like, I don't get to smile. I get to smile when it's over, maybe. Mm-hmm. And also is like, you know, you've seen him interview talk about like what his favorite music is. And it's like 1970s soul records.
Yeah.
Like he is an old soul. That is his whole thing. Obviously, he's also listening to Future or whatever. But like he is that dude, or at least is committed to that being the public persona. Who knows behind closed doors, obviously. But I think that is I think that ends up being a benefit for him in a situation like this. Even though he's going for the first time, you know, he does not have that experience necessarily. I don't see him getting tilted, which is everything, you know. I mean, that was my favorite thing about the win that we got, the Super Bowl win we got against Tom Brady, is you could see Brady tilt, which is so rare, but it felt so good that like when he tried the thing that would turn out to be called the Philly special because Foles pulled it off and it didn't work for him. And then when Foles got it, Brady's face was just, he was in the biggest frown in the world. And like that made him not be able to pull out the big thing, the big win.
Well, and that's what makes me so curious about this game, is because I expect it to be tight. And the thing that your team hasn't really done this year is play tight games. Like you have been, what you should do against bad teams is dominate, right?
Yep. And then slow down.
And slow down. And so what happens when this game is 13-13 at halftime?
At halftime.
You know, you know, I mean, that's where you, like, that's where teams are made or broke. You know, that's where the Chiefs have, you know, an emotional advantage. That's where, you know, your
defense has to come to play. And frankly, it's why I wanted that game against the Niners to be good. I didn't want, I mean, you know, I wanted to see
Purdy. That was fluky, though. Like, I think,
but I wanted them to have that experience. Yeah, I wanted it to go to 13-13 into the half and then have to pull away.
The first half, though, game. Like that, I mean, it's funny because, like, the first half of that game, the defense of the 49ers was as incredible as advertised, that if that offense on the 49ers had literally anything to offer, I think that game is not quite a coin flip, but you got it. You would have earned the win. And then at a certain point, it was like, they can't gain 15 yards. So, like, if there was a mercy rule, then the 49ers would have just taken it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they were on QB4 for like a single play.
God. And then they had then QB4 got
QB5, right? Because
QB4 got hurt, and then Christian McCaffrey was going to run the Wildcat.
One, right.
But the Wildcat, like, you don't practice that. So they only had a handful of plays.
And then
Purdy came in and basically hand the ball off. I mean, it was basically just run out the clock so we can get to the offseason. So
it's tough. It's a tough one. So I read a piece this week that was about that and about the unwillingness to give up there. I can't remember who it was, but like it was based around this notion that like when you're out there and you're in a situation like that, you tell yourself like what a good story it would be if we pulled it off. And you know, if you were a 49ers fan, that, you know, what a good story it would have been if they somehow pulled it off. And then they would have gotten the Super Bowl and just gotten wrecked.
Got their ass kicked,
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's tough.
As we head towards the end here, I'm scrolling through a couple of questions that people sent. One that has come up over and over. I know it is as generic as all hell, but just the snacks. What is the Sunday setup? What do people like? What do they prefer? What are they? If you're going to a place, what are you bringing? What speaks to you is the thing. Like,
it depends on what's already going to be there, right?
Okay.
I want a little bit of, because I'm going to counter bring, right? So it's like, if I'm going to a place where I know there's going to be lots of, like, you know, one of my favorite things is like peppers, like, you know, yellow and red peppers. I'm a huge fan of like that style of thing. And a lot of people don't have those. A lot of people, it's just going to be
you're bringing meats. The veggies.
Like, I'll bring the veggies to a situation like that. But if I'm going to a place where I know it's going to be veggies and crackers and like cheese, I'm going to get a big bucket of wings. I'm going to be the guy who's like going to, I know the wing. You know what I mean? I'm going to get the good wings and bring those. So I'm going to try my best to be whatever, you know, to be a little bit of the you know, 11th man, so to speak, who's going to come in and get the situation right.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm like, wings are such a part of it. Like, that's kind of mandatory. It's a shame, like, because of just how wing crazy the country went during the pandemic. Like, there's a lot of places that they've run out of, like, the chickens. There's not enough of the chickens that produce, like, the wing joint chickens.
Do you remember,
so you're getting
when
the roaster chicken?
Fucking like, Wingstop was like, we have to introduce thighs. We can't keep up with wing demand. Like, truly, that happened.
So there's a chain here in Massachusetts, Wings Over, and they do maybe.
What are they over?
So it'll be Wings Over. What? Will be Wings Over Cambridge. Wings Over Boston. Wings
Over. All right. Yeah, okay. You brought me back in.
But
Rob, would you say that Wings Over creates energetic moments? Because that's their motto.
I think they can supply an energy to a gathering. So in the best of times, they're an inconsistent wing joint.
Sure.
Like they are, every one of their franchises has been prone to like getting overwhelmed by wing demand and just like flash cooking their wings. And you're like, this just is underdone. This is kind of gross. But in the last year, suddenly they went from like chicken wing drumsticks and wings like you'd expect to like roaster chicken like drumsticks.
Wow.
And didn't really change their recipe. So it was just like same old wing breading, same old
you can't just
seasoning.
Do that.
And yeah, that was just a big old like drumstick. And like, I haven't been able to go back. This is not happening. So
I hope you find a place. I hope you got to do some research.
I miss the days when you just take good wings for granted.
Yeah.
And it's gotten a little bit
harder.
This
country,
that's,
man.
That's one of them. It used to be a country.
I just remember that there's like a pizza place pretty close to me that has like better than indexed wings. Like the pizza's not that good, but the wings, they actually have them. You know what
sometimes
I mean?
Sometimes the pizza joint is sneakily like the good wing place. Yeah. And that's fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
Cause it's like the pizza place never has good buffalo wings or whatever they're selling. But sometimes that one time you're like, hey, wait, this isn't just like pour it out of a bag and they're doing wings.
They're doing wings. Yeah. That's what Wings Over's motto should be. They're doing wings. They're doing wings. You can have that read for free.
Wings we do them.
Right. Wings. We do them. We do them.
Just please come in. Please. We keep doing them.
Wings over? Not
wait,
here.
Patrick, what's your wing? What's your snack?
Well, you're
doing a whole thing, right?
We are going down the street. We got neighbors who like do a whole thing. But So buffalo wings are just my goat. Like I could just eat those, but I'm just buffalo anything. And so it used to be just buffalo wings, but you get filled on that so fast. And so the thing I've become a huge fan of, a friend of ours makes an excellent one of them, is like the buffalo chicken dip. Mm-hmm. And so you get the experience of the buffalo wing without it being the whole wing. And
protein.
I got to get four of them. And then all of a sudden I'm full. And then it's like I get the experience of the buffalo chicken, but in like an appetizer form, because I can't just have one wing. I'm going to end up putting six on my plate and then, all right, well, I need to wait an hour before I can eat anything else.
You're this is also the time of the year where I'm most excited to see the fucked up nacho disaster. And that can be a 7-layer dip, or that can be like the ridiculous like nacho pyramid where it's like, and then we just, it's the fucking
put
like
everything
Taco Town ad, but it's like for a pile of nachos. And then like within 30 seconds, it's like congealing into like a weird like nacho gloop.
I hate
but
this.
Still kind of tasty.
I can't do this. This is too much for me. I'm such a boring person with nachos.
This is the time of year where I'm okay seeing that. I'm also like low key. I love cocktail wieners. I love the little I love the little,
pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket. Yeah. Pigs in a blanket. Pretty good.
Just put that in a little bit of ketchup and like, eh,
yeah, what are you
it's
gonna
fine.
Do?
It's great. You know, it's also it's the one time where as a Chicagoan you will not be shamed for putting a hot dog in ketchup. You can get away with it.
You get away with it.
Because secretly, I'm okay. Like, you know what? I'm fine.
Yeah, you're not like a big Chicago dog.
No, no. And the pigs in a blanket is just your way of secretly getting away with it. Yeah. I think it's a lot of Chicagoans' ways of like, pigs in a blanket, you're not dipping that in relish.
You know, I'm sure there are people listening who are not Super Bowl people, but let me give you this. The Super Bowl is sort of like protein Halloween. You could eat any type of meat. Any type of protein, not even meat. Any type of weird ass, you know, cheesy or whatever you want that is like, this is bad junk food. This is not good for me. Today's the day.
And
today's
it's not the only, day. It's not only that, like the invite we got for the Super Bowl thing we're going to was like, so in the past, children have not been invited and people have had to figure out something else. But last year, the kids that did come, everyone was good. But we need to make, but if you were bringing a child, they better have something to keep themselves in.
Give them an activity. Give
it
them
is,
a,
it, it
an
is
iPad.
Give screen them time a, doesn't yeah. exist. Right, it right, is just it right. is just go to
wild.
A room in the part of the house and do not come back. You need another Kit Kat? That's fine.
That's all you, kid. Yeah. Uh-huh. Great. Incredible.
Someone else asked, what is the most memorable, heartbreaking, iconic way for either team to lose? I think we have to go with heartbreaking of those three options. Austin,
I mean,
we
would have to double doink, right? Like, that has to be the good close
You've
on
had a good kicker.
Be.
You've had a good kicker, though.
We
but
do. But it doesn't,
the way,
I mean,
the way
oh
your
God.
Team has played this year.
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, because I feel like teams establish a style of play
yeah.
in which you can imagine this is
the
way we'd fuck it up.
The true heartbreaker would be We have the 2 minute drill, and Jalen throws a pick.
Yeah,
I was thinking the 2 minute drill, pick six.
Six, and we lose.
Yes.
Right, 2 minute drill. We could go into OT, but we try to drive. Throws the pick six. Game is over,
and that drives the whole Jalen Hurts narrative it's for the entire offseason.
And it's
the same way
that
Jimmy Garoppolo's
fist claws yes. through the turf as
yep.
the play ends.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like a quarterback controversy in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
Who's the
exactly.
other quarterback? Doesn't matter. The hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical. Who could it be?
Well, because they
we'll
would have two first round picks, right?
Two first round picks.
10?
Couldn't we get somebody else? Could we spend the first five games of next season once again being like, who could it be?
Oh yeah, watch. Yeah, you have the pick six, and then you start like 1-3, right?
Yeah.
Like
you
lose close games, right? It's nobody's
yep.
fault. Things,
but
things go weird. But that's
the
yeah.
Sirianni era is over. The Jalen Hurts era is over. The other version of the heartbreaking way we could win, the heartbreaking way, in my opinion, that the Chiefs could lose, is that we get a Mahomes like. Serious injury.
So that's what I was thinking. He
and that
like,
would be
first or second series. Like he miserable. Goes down the field, throws to Kelsey, 7 points, like 7-7, and then the Chiefs get the ball back after getting a 3-and-out against the Eagles, mm-hmm. and then someone just rolls up on his leg, and it's like, hey, yep. he literally can't move. Who wants to
Who's
watch?
Their backup? Do we know? I don't know who the backup is.
Chad Henne, I believe.
He's done well. Here's the funny thing. He's done well every time they've needed
him. Rob, in that game against the Jaguars, he marched down the field. Like, the thing that should have knocked the Chiefs out of the game was the Jaguars had them down on the 3-yard line or whereabouts. And he marched down the field and gained like 97 yards to score a touchdown.
Actually,
and that gave Mahomes like a chance to like go to the locker room, get taped up, like figure out his leg.
Actually, I think that's the worst way for the Chiefs to win.
Yeah.
Is everyone's gonna be like, system QB. I told you.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Any other questions, Patrick?
I don't think so. You want to talk about Super Bowl ads? Not really. I don't know. Like, hopefully, the nicest thing about the ads this year will be that all the crypto companies went out of business.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I had a thought just now, which is, I think part of the reason we get the question mark on Jalen Hurts, I wonder if we get the same question mark on Jalen Hurts and Jalen Hurts' numbers 20 years ago that we do now because of the height of fantasy football and one day, single day fantasy shit, where he's not as good as a fantasy quarterback as some higher, you know, producing QBs are. And I wonder if that shifted some metrics in people's heads. I wonder if people care more about a fit, not about efficiency, but about
production.
Production. Exactly. Yeah. Right. I have no idea. That's a hypothetical. I have no fucking clue. He might, I don't even know how good he is as a fantasy QB, but I'm guessing there are many other QBs you'd rather have in terms of raw numbers, you know?
Yeah, it was the Bears have the number one overall pick, and actually Fields was the number one fantasy quarterback for like 6 weeks in a row because he would just rip off a 65-yard touchdown.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. Austin, what else you got going on? What do you want to promote before we get out of here?
Rob and I have a Star Wars podcast called A More Civilized Age. We just did really crossing the streams on this. We just did an actual play podcast where we all played. We played a tabletop game called Going Rogue. We told a story in this role-playing game about a sort of, God, how would you even summarize it, Rob? Apocalypse Now, but clones.
With a scrappy band of misfits.
Yeah, with scrappy. Yeah, what if that was more about a scrappy band of misfits?
Huh. All right.
And also space. And then Friends of the Table, which is about to start its new season, Palisade, which is a sci-fi mech show.
How many seasons in are we in?
This is technically season 8. We also have two Patreon seasons, or just about two Patreon seasons now that the second one is about to wrap up. So it's a lot. It's been a road, you know. How about y'all? What's up with Waypoint these days?
Well, we still exist, so you know, we don't have time, that's all right.
But real quick,
it's all right. My wife hasn't texted me. We're good.
What's going on? What the state of the thing? It sucks out here with the industry and people getting laid off. It's miserable. Like I have not been impacted directly, but so many people who I love and respect have lost their jobs over the last couple of weeks.
We're not here without Waypoint Plus is what I can't tell you that with 100% certainty, but I can tell you that with gut level certainty that
I don't know, man. I think we might be able to say with 100% certainty.
there's no way to know. Yes, no, yes, but yes. It is hard for me. You know, look, we spent 6 years at Waypoint, and shouts to Joel Fowler.
Numbers. Shouts to Joel Fowler.
What do they mean? A man that always found a way to just like make things work, make the gears turn. I never had a good sense of like, are we in the red? Are we in the black? It's like, no, everyone's still got their jobs. We're moving forward. Keep making things. Like, keep doing what you do.
I will say, I've never felt more happy that Joel took our concerns into heart than when the shit that just happened at Fandom, where Fandom immediately laid off people at GameSpot and at Giant Bomb, people who do good work and deserve to have jobs in the industry. And I say that because there was a period of time when we were like, we got to get the fuck out of here, because a different regime was in charge at Vice at the time than the people who are in charge now. The situation was different. And one of the places that Joel was looking at was Fandom. Or that Fandom was looking to acquire the same sort. And I was like, I don't know, dude. And there was a different era, right? So who knows how that would have shaken out. But shout outs to the people who've unfortunately lost their jobs across those two places, Washington Post.
Yeah.
Fanbyte before that. It's been rough.
Well, and this is the funny thing. You allude there to how hard it is to know what is the actual profit and loss on a bit. Like, I'm curious how many people in media have any idea really of what they bring in for their site, what their site makes. I think like all these things are very deliberately obscured from us. But like the notion that, and I think a lot of us have been beaten down in a media environment where things have always been bad and getting worse. But like it's very clear so many of these places that did media layoffs, they're immediately hiring in other places. Like they're just reallocating resources. Uh-huh. And so I think it's, it's funny. This is a case where the landscape in media and games media in particular is bleak. But also I've never been quite so convinced that like fundamentally people are getting money out of like out of media. And the people who make it are largely not and are being like left precarious. But that is not the case for the business as a whole, which was not the case when a lot of us got into this, where places did feel like we can barely keep the lights on. Nobody knows how to make any of this work. Now it's like, oh, you have figured out how to keep the lights on. And like, we know that there's some people getting paid very, very well out of this. And then
that was the change post 2008. Like 2008 was the last time I experienced so many people I knew getting laid off. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, looking at what's happening now, in some ways, having done it for as long as I have, I was like, yeah, I've been through this before, like done this cycle. Other sites will crop up. People will once again look at games and be like, I just started a games website. Like, I know that's really hard for folks.
That is what did it for me, frankly. Like the 2008, I got on Twitter because of the 1UP EGM family layoffs, right? I emailed you. I emailed to Tillo, who put me in contact with you when you were at MTV, being like, how do I do this? You know?
I think it was at G4. I think it was G4.
You were at G4. You were at G4 at that point. Yes. You already left MTV, right? At that point?
Yes. Right. I got laid off from MTV and then went down to LA to be at G4. And, like, and that's when we had our first interaction.
Yes. You start a site with your friends. I think today you'd probably start a Twitch channel or a YouTube channel with your friends and not a website, probably. Mm-hmm. I hope that sort of reinvigoration happens again. I feel like there's like, my fear is that we've seen a lot of erosion of a certain type of media role in our space.
See, that's the difference, right? Like, I don't think writing about games is disappearing, but I think we have seen, especially like out of like an era that we all think back on very fondly of like the blogosphere, Brainy Gamer, like a certain era of like that born out a lot of like critics and reporters and like deep thinkers about games. Some of that stuff went to YouTube, and it's just like there's a lot of great essayists doing interesting work on a 100%. Different platform. But if you just like write like reading long essays, thoughtful essays, like that sorts of writing, I think is going away increasingly and only sort of exists to be propped up by if you were enough of a personality to convince people to give you money to do it. And unfortunately, it's very rare to find people who are interesting enough as a public personality to get people invested in paying for thoughtful work because those things don't usually cross are very rare to cross over.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, like, and you see it even in other spheres, right? Like, Taylor Lorenz is a reporter who has done great reporting work, but also so much of her success is about building an online brand, building a following, etc. You can't just do the work well anymore.
No.
You know? So, I don't know. It's a weird time. So, I miss it sometimes, but also, like, I'm going to get to play Breath or whatever, Tears of the Kingdom, without needing to, like, play it all in 3 weeks and then write.
I think I said, you know what? Okay. I still haven't gotten the message, but maybe we'll give us a 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Because you told me, I think before we set up the Elden Ring spoiler cast, was the last time you really felt the impulse to want to talk about a video game. And I have these two people here right now. Yeah. Is you playing Marvel's Waypoint's Game of the Year, Marvel's Midnight Suns.
That truly?
No, but like Rob has lots of thoughts. This game went on a journey, and I know you had lots of thoughts. Yeah. And so if we had like a couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you thought about that game.
Well, now it's a different context because of the shit that just came out about it underperforming. Did you see that today?
Yes. It was a critical acclaim, but a commercial bomb. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It seems like they sort of let Jake Solomon just make the game you wanted to make. That game.
I mean, Northern Lion was making jokes about, and here's what happens when you stream Midnight Suns. Oh. And it was just like pictures of tumbleweeds, like like ghost towns, etc.
Well, it doesn't have the stuff that you get the fan interaction with that XCOM does, right?
No,
and that's it, Rob. I bet we would have streamed the fuck out of that game.
Oh yeah, dude. Like this is we'd still be playing it. We'd be like, we're doing, but and that would have been like a 10-year project. Because it's like, what do we want to do about the way Tony Stark's kind of hijacked the cool like arts and crafts club?
You know that scene when he shows up to their fucking thing. It was the most like, get the fuck out of here. No one asked you to be here, Boomer. Like you got to go home. I think that game had. I think there's some real smart shit in that game. I think getting rid of movement or having one move per turn is so.
And yet movement's still really important.
Super
positioning
important.
Is so
really
important.
Really clever. I hate how that game is written. Not hate. I don't jive well with the way that game is written. And obviously I'm not surprised by that, but I do like that Blade was going to go on a world tour to meet other vampire hunters and compare notes. So there's a version of it. There's a version of that game that I would have just devoured, I think. And it wasn't quite the one. Like, I don't know what's going on with all of the weird explore the Academy grounds shit. There's so much of it. And I do not care. We don't care. You know? We don't care.
So I kind of like that. I think like it's a beautiful space, but it's like you want to just wander around this place. And I'm like, not really. Like, this is kind of the problem.
There's just not enough there.
Hanging out with the other heroes, that's like, I'm gonna walk into this room, talk to this person. It's a real tight loop. Explore the Academy grounds. It's like, go on a woods walk and like do it again. Maybe you'll find something you missed last time. That's not great. But to me, I think the thing that is so, that game starts so slow. It introduces you to a game where you're like, they just completely biffed it in terms of building a tactics game about superheroes. Like, and
yep,
I was feeling that way for about like 8-10 hours of just like,
where was the moment that you came back around on it? Because for
it's
me,
happened real slowly. Okay. Like, but it's been a steady escalation.
For me, it's whenever they bring in a new character, I go like, huh. Oh, Spider-Man. Oh, Spider-Man's whole thing is moving other characters around, is webbing them into each other. And like, that's it. Oh, Wolverine has some interesting new ideas for how to interact in this sphere. And like, every time Hope Springs Eternal, this time I'll like how the character is written. But then you get a little arc about like how Peter Parker doesn't want to show his face to anybody. And on paper, that's a great arc. And in play, I just don't care.
Well, that one's super brushed off where it's like, I have to keep everything secret. And they're like, what if you didn't? And he's like, okay, leaves the room so they can swap models. They load a different model in. And it's like, hey, I'm Peter Parker. It's like, wow, that was really brave of you to like show your face to us. And so, and like, there is a bit of that. Like, it's a very twee game in places. Yes. But the thing I really enjoy, and this is where it is not like twee in that way, the characters have real beef with each other. Yeah. And some of them are real assholes.
The shit with your like stepmom character who runs the place, and like the shit between magic, like all that stuff is good. Like that stuff works.
And it's not just like, hey, we never talked honestly about this. No, it's like, it doesn't, it's like, you know what? It is like a familiar relationship where it's like, you can be like, we're going to have that heart to heart. We're going to clear the air. Except the air can't be cleared because the tension lives, like it's there. It's real. It's not in the air. It's in both of you.
Yes. Y'all don't agree about this shit.
Yeah.
And you have to live together on this magic island.
And I think, like, to me, one of the things, there is a bit of like millennial versus zoomer like part to it, but like the degree to which it captures this essence of like, there's a lot of people who've been through this shit before a number of times and are like, we know how to handle a world-ending threat, just like trust us, we got this. And then there's the folks who are like, they don't let us do things. Yeah. We're super smart and capable. Let us show what we can do. And they fuck up. And they're like, it's because you didn't support us. And like, that's like, depending on where you are, I think you will sympathize very differently with like who's right in that. But I love the game goes there.
Me too. That's the stuff that works for me. Which is like, I wrote that piece recently, clockworkworlds.com, about the writing in Forspoken, which I would love to talk about Forspoken for 30 minutes also, but I'm not going to make you do that. I'll say that I was right about my suspicions about that game, which is when it takes itself seriously, when it cares about its own world, it can actually stick the landing sometimes. And when it's flippant and its characters don't give a fuck about the situations they're in, it lands like a brick. It doesn't work at all. And unfortunately, there are a few more number of those than of the game taking its own world building seriously. To Marvel Midnight Suns credit, I opened that door. I played enough of that game to be like, I remember why I like Marvel comics. I remember why I was a Marvel kid. And that is, you know, or why I still occasionally like Marvel comics when I actually sit down and read the comics versus the MCU stuff, or when I occasionally still like an MCU project, right? It hit me on that level, even though I was like sick to death of their Tony Stark and their Doctor Strange. And there are enough cool characters in there that are, you know, the premise is strong, and seeing you know, I love how Iron Man plays, and that is an achievement.
God,
you know, so
like when you realize like he can just be a multiple rocket launching system. Yep. Like once you feed him and he like he's built resource that he can just turn into like death.
Well, that's the core thing that it does well. That the thing that I love about it that I think a lot of RPGs get wrong is that characters' abilities can communicate something about who they are, and they can have unique abilities. So like magic is not a character who to like does a lot of direct damage, but she moves people around using her portals a lot. That is who she is, right? Tony is someone who reinvests in himself and waits, you know, I don't need to use any of these tools. I need to use this one tool, super strong, and then blast the shit out of somebody. And that says something about who he is. So like that game does that stuff super well. It's a shame. It's a shame that it didn't find an audience. I'm not surprised it didn't find an audience, but we'll see. We'll see what they do next.
Probably thanks, Patrick. Given the fact that, both of you seem to suggest the game takes a long time. I'm glad they put out a demo on PlayStation Plus, but the demo is just 3 hours, which does not seem like it's enough for figure itself out.
If the battles at the start were more like the battles in the middle, I think you'd be like, it's starting to click. And instead it's like, play a card, punch, play a card, block.
It almost seems like a game that should have like had the opening be a battle that's like much more complicated, but they walk you through how the complex interactions work and then be like, you know, okay,
now we'll walk
let's start simple and then we'll get our way there.
Forspoken does that in its demo, believe it or not. I don't think that demo is really good. It's just like kind of you're tossed into a big open space. Mm-hmm. But the main game gives you one set of magic at the beginning of the game for like way too long. And in the demo, they start you post the first big boss with a second set of magic, which is like the good magic in that game. And that's just like it's such a difference maker.
Yeah, that tough stuff's hard. All right, well, in the meantime, you can follow Waypoint on Twitter at Waypoint, on Twitch at twitch.tv/Waypoint, and YouTube at youtube.com/WaypointVice. And our writing, which actually we've done a surprising amount of so far in 2023. I've had two big features go up this week at waypoint.vice.com. This episode is premiering ad-free on Waypoint Plus, which you can subscribe to, gain access to early episodes, exclusive episodes, ad-free episodes.
What was the other piece? I know the one today about non-competes.
And then a big thing on the Hi-Fi Rush how that studio put that game together.
Nice.
They like made it UI-free for like 6 months, which was really interesting.
That's wild.
Yes, and then basically like the arc of it was they added UI as they play tested, and people were like, I need a little bit of UI, and then add a little bit of UI.
I am making a very different type of video game. Uh-huh. The idea of not having UI makes me break out in a sweat.
Well, I think Shinji Mikami told them, it was like, hey, try with no UI and then work your way.
That makes sense, given the type
UI.
Of game that it
yeah,
is, you know.
Yeah. So. And you can find more at waypointplus.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Patrick Klepek. Rob, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Rob Zachney and just watch me support my Spurs. Defended White Hart Lane against Man City.
Have you followed this, Patrick? Do you understand what's happening here?
I do know. I really try to avoid social media on weekends, but all I know is that I got tagged by Rob in that we had a team that Rob had decided we're fans of, and then the Barstool guy was a fan of them, and then I think we're not fans of them anymore, right, Rob? Or are we still fans?
It depends on to what degree we let him ruin this for us.
Yeah, that could be bad.
I think we might have to have this deeper conversation on the next episode of Sports when we're post football. Into the off season, you're gonna have to unpack this for me because, like, that's all I saw was just like several people tagging you in like that dipshit talking about that team and being like, "I think did this ruin it for us?" And I don't know. I don't have enough information. Or Rob's gonna have to fill me in later.
Good luck,
Austin. Where can people follow you?
At Austin_Walker on Twitter. At Austin on co-host. Just Austin on co-host. They don't have underscores over there. I couldn't be Austin-Walker.
That bothers you.
I'd rather the underscore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I like being at Austin. I tried to be at Austin Walker no underscore on Twitter for the longest time. Like it was like I checked that motherfucker's account to be like, are you off that shit? Yeah, you don't tweet. Let me have it. And then joining Giant Bomb meant like I said Austin_Walker at the end of a podcast.
And then you were done.
I was done. Like, that's, you know, there are Friends of the Table fans who call me Mr. Underscore, which is very weird.
That's Dark Austin Walker, Mr. Underscore.
Can you believe we had this conversation instead of watching the State of the Union address, by the way?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm going to go watch the fifth episode of Game of Thrones or Last of Us that I got early instead of doing that.
Oh, wait, are they still uploading them early?
Did you not get that email? If you didn't get that email, Rob, I'll... No, they... So the previous email was that you got the first seven episodes and the effects were unfinished. I got an email earlier this week that was like, do you want to watch the fifth episode early? Because they're avoiding the Super Bowl. But I... Rob, we'll talk tomorrow so you can continue your quest to grind through a bunch of gnarly stuff while your partner is out of town. We didn't pick the game because we're all Eagles fans. We don't need to pick them. So that we're all set up for heartbreak if it all goes awry. But Austin, good luck.
Thank you.
Fuck capitalism and bear down.
Forgot that that's how you end this.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.